wrong things. Turn, if you would, to Chronicles. 2 Chronicles 25. I knew I had my glasses here. 2 Chronicles 25. And it's going to go through 2 Chronicles. Let's see. I'm trying to explain how you can get to it. After 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, which is the first five books.
Okay.
Yeah, Old Testament. Look in the front right there. There's a little... I remember those days, man. We all been there, brother. Believe me, you. We have a pastor who's been very, very patient with a lot of us. You know, so it's not an issue, man. 2 Chronicles 25, verse 2 says, "And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart." How's that? You can do what's right in the sight of the Lord, but have a wrong heart. You can do, Paul, when he was out there and bringing Christians and beating them and all that, he thought he was doing things right for the Lord, but he was definitely doing it with the wrong heart. He had a wrong desire behind what he was doing. But I believe God knew that he could use him. I mean, just imagine somebody who was that gung-ho to go out there and do that, thinking he's doing something right for the Lord, and then Jesus Christ saves him and then turns him loose. No, nobody, I've never been another Paul. Paul's just I'm just telling you, God knows. But let me tell you, not Paul didn't always have the right heart. Because the king's heart was not right, as we read here, and God, knowing the future of the king, God did not or would not give the king victory in his battles. This is a picture of the Christian life. We may be walking with God and thinking that we're doing the right thing, but our heart is wrong before God. Some of the things that we may have wrong in our life is our Bible readings, the music we listen to, our prayer life, our love for the brothers and sisters, and our church attendance, and that's just to name a few of the big ones. There's some small things in our hearts that are destroying our lives, but we don't want to look at them. We think that we're okay as long as we're sitting in this pew, and as long as we come here to every church service, and as long as we are reading our Bible on a daily basis, we think that we have our hearts right with the Lord. I'm here to tell you, there's things in your heart that is wrong before God. You can do all that. You can do all that's right in the sight of God and not have a perfect heart. And that goes for each and every one of us. How do I know that? Because God gave me this message.
Amen.
God gave it to me for me. Because I walk around thinking, yeah, I got it. I'm doing good. I got this thing. I'm about to step on the water. And then just like what happened? He sank. Took his eyes off Jesus Christ and sank. Guess what? We do the same thing. We do the same thing. And so we see this is going on with the king's life. 2 Chronicles 25, 7 and 8 says, "But there came a man of God to him, saying, O king, let not thy army of Israel go with thee, for the Lord is not with Israel, to wit, with all thy children of Ephraim." Verse 8, "But if thou wilt go, do it, be strong for the battle. God shall make thee fall before the enemy." He's telling him, don't go. God is not with you in this thing. But yet he's doing right in the eye. You see, he's doing right in the eyes of the Lord. But there's something in his heart. It's going to come to pass. I'm going to show you what's in his heart. There's something in his heart that God said, I'm not going with you in that battle. Listen, if you're having a hard time in a battle and you don't feel like God's with you, he may not be, because there's something in your heart that he don't like. There's something in your life. He's saying, no. Yeah, you think you're doing the right thing, but your heart is not perfect. There's something there. He's not even going to go into battle with them. And he says this. He says, you're going to fall before your enemy. For God hath the power to what? To help and to cast out. Listen. We serve a holy, righteous, and mighty God. But that does not mean he's going to deliver you from everything.
Amen.
That's right. That's what it just said right there. power to lift you up and cast you down. He has the power to leave you right where you are. And sometimes we need to be left in that spot for what? To see what he's trying to show you. Remember, he already knows what's in your heart, but you have to see what's in your heart. How's he going to do that? Leaving you right where you are. That's a hard place. I don't know if anybody's ever, has God ever said, hey, why don't you take a little bit of yourself? Take a little bit of that old person you used to be. And he starts giving you a taste of what you were. I don't know if God ever did that to you, but I'm sure he's done it to me for sure. And I'll tell you what. You just see somebody fall on their face like somebody was shooting at me. Because I realized, oh my gosh, this is where I stand before you. Oh man, help me. Help me, Lord. I can't do this battle anymore. I'm sinking quick. My boots are falling apart. I can't do it anymore. I'm in the trenches. Help me, Lord. You see now, Dale? Yeah, I see, Lord. Woo, lift me up. Help me. I'm just telling you, man. It says, as we see here, the king thought he was doing right for God, but his heart was not perfect before God. There were secret things in the king's heart that God did not want there. We also are, as kings, we walk this life thinking we're doing what's right for the Lord, but our motives, our desires, and our attitude gives us the wrong hearts towards God. What's your real desire for coming here? What's your real motive for coming here? What's your real attitude about coming here? And listen, I know people that won't step foot in any church because of the people, but they go shopping at Walmart and everything else. What's your attitude? I have a person that I've been talking to that really just basically told me I quit church. The very thing that was helping you, you want to quit. So you came with the wrong desire. You came with the wrong attitude. Thank you. You came for the wrong motive. Let me just tell you this. If you come for any other reason besides, number one, getting saved, or number two, getting help from Jesus Christ, you have the wrong motive and the wrong attitude for sitting in that pew. Where a King James Bible is preached, you are going to see what you are. The Holy Ghost is going to walk these pews and show you what you need to work on. Most people don't want to see that. And they run with their tails between their legs and they're gone. I used to be one of them. So I had a man stand up and say, all you are, Dale, is a godless little wench. And that used to tear me up. That was that man sitting right there who used to tell me that. After I calmed down about 4 or 5 hours later, I realized he's right. That's exactly what I am. But it took that for me to see. Now, I'm not saying he could walk around doing that to everybody. But he did it for me, and I thank God that he did it. I still get harsh words from my brothers and stuff. Because, listen, I make mistakes and all that, but I'm glad they're harsh with me. I'm glad they show me. I'm glad they still tell me those things. It hurts me inside sometimes, but you know what? I'm all right with it. I'm getting good hurt. I'm not getting bad hurt. I'm getting good hurt, okay? There's a such thing as that. If not, then I made it up right now. I'm getting good hurt. What was that page, buddy?
No, I'm in 2 Chronicles.
In 2 Chronicles 2:25?
2:25.
No, 25, 7, and 8 is where I just left off, buddy. You're not, no problem. There are secret things in this, guys. So, whereas the king, we have the wrong motives, we have the wrong desires, and the wrong attitude. And then we find ourselves fighting, losing battles, and wondering, why is there no victory? We read in 2 Corinthians 4:2, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness or handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. We are to renounce, which means to give up, to reject, to disown these hidden things that are in our heart. The Bible tells you in 2 Corinthians 4:2 that you have hidden things in your heart, hidden things in your life. And I'll just tell you, whoever you are in secret, that's who you really are. So go ahead and face that thing.
Try it.
That is not an easy thing to face. I'm just telling you, I still go through it. And I thank God that I go through. You know why? Because then I can say, Lord, now I finally see the way you see. Okay, now I understand that, Lord. Now I understand. A lot of our family doesn't understand why there are certain things that are implemented in the morning. I have a Father who's great. I have a Father who's full of mercy, and He knows what I need to put in my family's life to protect them from the things that will so easily beset them.
Amen.
When I got saved, my father had my kids in mind. When my wife got saved, he had my children in mind. Now, we're not perfect, and trust me, you can ask them that we make mistakes. But the thing is, I'll just say, all right, family, gather up. We're going to have a talk. Here comes the jerk. I got to be the jerk now. We're going to get this thing right. This is what's going on here, here, here. And I mean, just as plain as day, the Lord just points it out to me.
Amen.
Just as plain as day, am I right? I mean, there's no stutter, no, I don't have to think about none. The Lord had already shown me. Now I'm going to give it to my family, and this is what we're going to work on. I thank God because most of the time my family is very receptive.
Amen.
I thank God for that. You know why? The only reason why. Number one, my children are being raised in the church. They don't know anything different outside. They've never been out. They never not came to a service. The only one who would have been Luke, skipped a couple of services when he was a young boy. That's because of me. Do you know who the glory? Who's the children's glory? Who's the glory of the children? The father.
Amen.
What about the wife? The husband.
Amen.
That's what it says. You want to know what's in a man's life? Look at his wife and children. That's what the Bible says. I didn't say that. Because I'll tell you what, the first time I seen it, I said, oh man. Woo! I better get some things right in my life. Here's the thing. God, He's the head of all. Jesus Christ. Man has to answer to Jesus Christ and God. I'm just telling you this, husbands. When you have God in the right place, your family will reap the benefits of you having that in the right place. Your family. God knew how to put this thing in order. Now you're looking at a person who wasn't raised with a dad. I wasn't raised with an entire family. It was my mom who raised me and my brother. And we were rebellious kids. Nobody taught me how to be a dad until I gave my life over to Jesus Christ. And He started teaching me how to be a dad. Started teaching me how to be a husband. Hey, you know what? And now my wife and my children are my glory. Not by anything that I've done, except for to listen to what my father would tell me to do. I learned a lot watching men. I learned a lot watching the old timers. They taught me a lot how to teach a wife and how you're supposed to love a wife and so on and so forth. That's a lost art in churches today. I'm just telling you that right now. I'm talking about Baptist churches. Yep. We are to renounce, give these hidden things up. 2 Chronicles 25:14 says, and now it came to pass, after that Amaziah was come from the slaughter of the Edomites, that he brought the gods of the children of Seir and set them up to be his gods and bowed himself before them and burned incense unto them. Because the king's heart was not right with God, he ended up turning to the gods and idols of this world. God knew this. We can walk right with God, but not have a perfect heart in doing so. And when this comes to pass, we will pick up the gods and idols of this world and call it living for the Lord. How many people I've seen walking around calling themselves Christians, and all you can see is the gods and idols of this world plastered on their body, plastered in their lives, how they walk and talk. And they're going to try to tell me that they're a Christian? Listen to me. How serious do you take 2 Corinthians 5:17? Therefore, if any man be in Christ Jesus, old things pass away.
Amen.
Behold, all things become new. What is so hard to understand about that verse? You mean to tell me God is so weak that He can't change what's in your life? Thank God He didn't save me and leave me the same old wretched person that I was. Because I tell you what right now, if I was still the same Dale Morey, I wouldn't be sitting in these church pews first of all. I'm just telling you this. Old things pass away. That means something's going to happen. Behold, all things become new. Anybody describe to me what the word all means? How? What does that encompass when it says all? I'd say it all. God is going to take who you are, who you used to be, and he's going to take and he's going to remove those things, and he's going to start putting his things in the place. That's repentance. When you see, oh, yeah, I don't need to be listening to that. Why? That's not glorifying God. That's not glorifying Jesus. Could you imagine Jesus Christ sitting there listening to that garbage? And then they call it Christian music? Could you imagine Jesus Christ? What's he doing? Sitting there with a joint in his hand with his long hair doing this. That's what you think Jesus Christ is going to do? God forbid. They need to take those things down and realize that, listen, Jesus Christ ain't going to be glorified through that stuff. How do I know that? Because all things become new. He took that out of my life. You want to talk about somebody who listened to some pretty hard stuff right here? I had video of me and my band singing that garbage. Trust me, believe me, you, I know hardcore music. I know death metal. I got it tattooed across my back. I know all that baloney. And you're going to try to tell me that Christian music is that? Sorry, I didn't glorify Jesus Christ when I was doing it. I'm talking about dress too, the way we dress. The way we dress. Why would Jesus Christ save me and then I go ahead and walk around with my hat cocked sideways, wear all this jewelry, bag my pants, and call myself a gangster Christian? That's what I am. Yo, what's up, G-Money? You see, all things become new. Thank God he didn't leave me. Listen to me. Thank God he didn't leave me who I was. Thank God these things are becoming new. These weren't desires in my heart. Before I got saved, as my mother is my witness, you think I would have done anything like this? You think I would have said anything about a Bible? Not for a second. That's not who I was. But you know what? I repented, number one. Number two, all things have become new.
Amen.
I mean, that makes my desires, that's my heart, the way I want to live, the way I want to talk. Now, do I have it right? No, I don't have it all right. 1 John 1:9, why would he put that in the Bible if a Christian can be perfect? Because he can't. A righteous man falls 7 times, but what? Gets back up again. Listen, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Why would he have to put that in there? Listen, I'll just tell you another one. Romans 7, what did Paul say? The things I don't want to do, that I do. The things I don't want to do, that's what I do. He had to battle. Battle the old man and the new man. That's a battle. Every day it's a battle. I'll get up in the morning, sometimes that old man is right there, and he's ready to go, and I can either give in to that pressure, I can give in to that devil who's like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, and that's what he wants to do. He wants to devour me and my family. I preached that in Sunday school. Why? Because I really felt like we were on the edge of destruction. Why? Because I was giving in to the devil. Giving in to his foolishness and nonsense. That's why. I gotta watch. I gotta be careful. And what's it say? Be sober and what else? Vigilant.
Yes, sir.
Guess what I wasn't being? Sober, yes, I don't drink. But I didn't have the sober thinking. I wasn't being vigilant. I wasn't guarding myself. I wasn't girding my loins with the Bible, the truth, like Pastor sent me a text. So the devil was attacking. Guess who liked it? My flesh. My old man just joined. No. Here I'm sitting there thinking I'm doing the right thing. And I didn't have a perfect heart in front of God. I was messing up left and right. Making bad decisions. Acting out of character. All that stuff came into play. And that's what I tell you, man. When God started showing me myself again, started showing me that old Dale again, you know who picked up on it quick? My wife. She said, you know, I'm starting to see a little bit of that anger. Time to get it. Time to either get it right or get destroyed, man. I mean, that's what it's all about. Listen, when my wife says something like that, my children are seeing it, man, there's something wrong.
Sure.
Now, my family was falling apart. I couldn't tell my kids what to do for a second. They wouldn't listen to me. Listen, you ask my kids, what rule do I have? How many times do I speak to you? One time. I play no games. There's no compromise. I'm talking to you once, it's done. But guess what? During that time, 4, 5, 6 times I was letting it go.
Yeah.
There was something bad. There was something wrong. Hey, did you see me come here at 1 o'clock and preach? Sure did. Did you see me come here and do Sunday school? Sure did. See me come here and sit at 11 o'clock service, pastors, preachers? Sure did. I thought I was doing the right thing, and my heart wasn't perfect. It wasn't right before God. Yep. How many church pews do you think today that they're filled with that stuff today?
No.
Right now as I speak. Think you're doing the right thing? Let me tell you, there's one foolproof way. If it don't match up with this, you ain't got it right.
True.
I told my Sunday school, I said, I love my pastor to death. Love him, respect him with all, and I believe he'll agree with me on this. Love him with all my heart. I would do anything for him, and I believe vice versa. But if he started coming out of anything, out of this, besides this Bible, and trying to teach me out of it, I'm not listening to it.
That's right. Shut it down.
But you know what they're doing? They're listening to what man has to say and not God anymore.
That's right.
Daniel went through that. They made a decree, didn't they not? Said, you won't bow down to anything but the king. Anybody who does is going to be thrown in the lion's den. That very day that Daniel knew that they signed that paper, what's the very first thing he did? He opened his window, went and prayed. He said, I'm not listening to their foolishness. He rebelled. But you know what else? He believed in God. Why? He already went through the fiery furnace. He wasn't worried about a lion's den. He wasn't worried about that. He said, I'm serving my God. Guess what happened? All those who wanted the decree, they're the ones who got thrown in the lion's den. They're the ones who got eaten. And guess what? By him staying faithful to his God, the king changed his heart. He said, now everybody's got to serve Daniel's God.
Amen.
God is good, man. How bad do you want his goodness? What does it really mean to you? What does it really mean? How good is his goodness? Listen, you're not, listen, if you're having a hard time serving God, if you're having a hard time finding his goodness, it's because you've got something in between you and him. There's something between you and him. You need to get it right. He wants to show you. He wants to reveal to you what it is. Well, I don't have any victory from God. What's in your heart? What's going on in your heart?
No.
What's really going on in your heart? And it doesn't have to be anything big. It could be murmuring, complaining, backbiting. Any of that stuff. God doesn't like any of it. What idols are in your heart? What'd you pick up? What have you picked up over the last few months? What worldly possessions that are making you? I preached a message this morning. What's devouring you? What's devouring your heart? What's taking up so much space in your mind, in your heart, that the devil is devouring you? Listen to me. What has become so big that God has become second place in your life? That's the devil seeking whom he may devour. What's devouring you? What is it? Find it out. For you lost people, my cousin got up. She went about her regular day. By 4:30, she was dead. You go ahead and keep thinking it can't happen to you. She has no hope.
Me?
It's over with. It's done. My friend Joe was 43 years old. My dad was 63 years old. No more hope. They can't hear the gospel. It's over with. It's done. Who's going to be the next one that we're going to hear about? Teenagers? Young guys? Josh? Luke? Who's the next ones we're going to hear about? Who's the next ones? How important is what God has to offer? How important is that to you in your life? Is that your real desire? Are you really going to be diligent? Is it really a diligence? If it is, it'll show in your life. It really will. And listen, I'm going to say this, and I'm going to read one more thing, and then I'm going to close. But people really think they have secrets, and I'm just telling you now, God says He exposes those things. Listen, for people who are older and been through a lot of things like me, I can pick up on a lot of garbage that you're into by the way you talk, act, walk, all that kind of stuff. Believe me, I can just pick up on it. But you really think you're hiding it, and you're not. You're not. You're exposing yourself more than you ever have. But it's not me you have to worry about. It's not pastor you have to worry about. It's not the people in this church you should worry about. You should be worried about what God thinks about that. But wait, you know why you don't care? Because your heart's not right. God hasn't. When's the last time God has even crossed your mind besides being in church? When's the last time? When's the last time you just thanked Him for having a family? I know me. I'm going to speak for me, Dale Moore. That I just can't believe God would give me a wife and two beautiful children. I can't believe that. Because I didn't deserve that. Why wouldn't I be thankful for that? My wife just sent me a thing last night. Just telling me how much she loved me and how special it was to her. And a privilege for her to be my wife. Yeah. A privilege for you to... It's a privilege for me to be your husband. Came up after pastor was done preaching. She said, "Daddy, we have love. Your love in our home." That's what she gave me a hug. Why? I'm just telling you, man. Jesus Christ, man, He knows what He's doing. He knows what it's going to take for you. He wants to do it. Will you give Him a chance? I'm gonna close with that. We're going to leave it at that. I'm just going to say, don't let the devil devour you and your family.
Amen.
Don't let him get in there and take apart, split apart everything God's trying to build. Because you know what? As my cousin and many of you have experienced death, just remember this. When they die, if they're not saved, there is no more hope. We need to reach them before that point. We need to get there before they get to that point. And now my aunt has asked me to go and speak at the funeral. I'm going to do it, of course. God's going to have to give me the strength to do it because I had a hard time with my dad's. Can't even imagine my own cousin. Because we were close at one time. Best friends even. And now she's going to be going. She's going to be buried. Her body, there's nothing left. But you know, she's down there and she's going to be burning for eternity. And I know that. I have to walk around knowing that. And this bothers me. People say, "Well, how can you believe in a God who's so mean?" Let me ask you this: if you break the law here on earth, you have to answer for your crime, correct? Do I have to say any more? God is a holy God. When you break His laws, you're going to answer for it. Number two, God doesn't cast people into hell. He went to the cross to alleviate that. You understand me when I tell you this now. He made the choice to go on the cross so that you didn't have to go to hell. If anybody goes to hell, they choose to go there. Because they reject Jesus Christ and they reject what He done. Don't tell me my God is like that. But if He had to be, He would. Why? Because He's not going to compromise His righteousness. What if He had to tell one little lie to save me from hell? He wouldn't do it. You can't think like a human being and understand God. His ways are not your ways. His thoughts are not your thoughts. Get that out of your head that you'll ever figure God out. You won't. Just trust that He knows what He's doing. As hard as it gets, we just have to trust that He knows what He's doing. And thank God He's in charge and not me.
Amen.
Imagine if you were in charge. We all think we have the answer. We all think we know how to do it right. But you're seeing from the eyes of a human being. You're not seeing from a holy God. Pastor, I'm done.